This week's Parsha is Parsha's B'Shalach. We will start with chapter 13, Pasuk number 19. The Pasuk says, Va'ikach Moshe es atzmois Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef Imoy with him. Ki hashbeya hishbiya es bnei Yisrael. He made the children of Israel surely swear, Laimor is saying, Pokoit ifkoit Elohim eschem, that Hashem will surely remember you, Vehalisem esatz moisai, and you should take up my bones, Mizeh, from here, itchem with you. That is the simple interpretation of the Pasuk. Rashi is bothered by the word Hashbeya Hishbiya, that he made surely swear. So Rashi says that Yosef Hashbeya, he made the Shvatim swear that they will tell their children or make their children swear. In other words, Yosef could not make the generation later on swear that they will bring him up with them. But Yosef HaTzadik made the Shvatim, his brother, swear that they will make their children swear that they will take the bones of Yosef, or they'll take the coffin of Yosef with them when they get up. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains why is it written Pokoit Yifkoit, why is it written double talk, that Hashem will surely remember you. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that it's talking about two kinds of remembering. One, Hashem will remember that you were slaves and he will take you out. And the second remembering is that he'll remember the promise that he promised Avraham Avinu, Va'achai Kein Yetzu Birchush Godoil, that afterwards the Jewish people will come out with a huge wealth. So there is two remembering. So therefore, because you may come out with a huge wealth, you may forget, you'll be busy carrying money, vessels of gold and silver, and forget or be unwilling to forgo the wealth in order to take the bones of Yosef back to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik made his brother swear that Pokoit, when Hashem is going to redeem you, and Yifkoit, when he's going to give you all the gold, you're still not going to forget me, and you'll still valisem esatz moisai mizeh itchem, and you'll still bring up my bones with you to Eretz Yisrael. In truth, the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph brings down that this actually almost happened, because the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a Baraisa, Bou Rei, come and see, Kamo Chavivois Mitzvois Al Moshe Rabbeinu, how beloved are mitzvahs on Moshe Rabbeinu, Shekol Yisrael Kulon Nisasku Babiza, that all the Jews were involved entirely in gathering the wealth from Egypt, Behu Nisasek Bamitzvois, and Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in mitzvahs. Shenemar, because the Pasuk brings down, Chacham Leif Yikach Mitzvois, that somebody who is wise at heart will seize mitzvahs, will take mitzvahs. And the continuation of the Pasuk is Ve'avil Sfosayim Ilavot, but the foolish one's lips will become weary. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is considered Chacham Leiv, a wise at heart, and the Jewish people are considered full lips, because they swore that they will take the bones of Yosef, and yet they didn't do it. The Gemara is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of taking wealth, instead of going looking for gold and silver, decided he should take the mitzvahs of taking the bones of Yosef. Where the Jewish people, instead of taking the mitzvah of carrying Yosef, which they swore to their fathers to carry Yosef out of Egypt, they decided instead to pursue their wealth. So we see clearly that in fact that happened, that the Jewish people were too busy gathering wealth, and that is the reason exactly why the Rachaim says that Yosef told them, Pakoid, Yivkoid, Elohim Eschem, that when Hashem takes you out and He will give you the wealth, you should make sure that even though you take the wealth, don't forget to take me with you. Don't forgo me instead of the wealth, take me with you. The Gemara seems to imply that there was a slight on the Jewish people, that the Jewish people ran after money instead of going to get the bones of Yosef. The Sefonah, though, brings down that the reason that the Moshe Rabbeinu went to get the bones of Yosef is because since Moshe Rabbeinu is the Nasi Hador, the leader of the generation, and it's incumbent for the leader of the generation to do what was sworn for the population. In other words, since obviously it's impossible for everybody to take the bones of Yosef, so whom do you give to take the bones of Yosef? You give to the leader of generation, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, if you take a look in the Gemara in Soita, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, there the Gemara continues that it says, Ve'ilo Yisasek Boy Moshe, if Moshe Rabbeinu would not take the bones, what would happen? Then the Jewish people will take the bones, like it's actually written in Yoshua chapter 24, Pasuk 32, it says, Ves Atzmes Yosef, and the bones of Yosef are Shehelu Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, that the Jewish people brought up from Egypt, Kavru Bishchem, they buried in Shechem. So we see that after Moshe Rabbeinu's death, since Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't around, then the Jewish people took care of it and they took up the rest of the way the bones of Yosef. And the Gemara continues and says that if Moshe Rabbeinu would not take, then the Jewish people would take the bones of Yosef. And if the Jewish people would not take the bones of Yosef, surely the tribe of Yosef, the children of Yosef, Menashe Ephraim, would definitely take the bones of Yosef. So the Gemara explains why did they not participate in taking the bones of Yosef. So they explained that it's better to do a mitzvah with a lot of people more than having a few people do it. Therefore, all the Jewish people took the bones of Yosef, and not only Yosef's tribe after Moshe Rabbeinu's death. And it's better to have the mitzvah done by somebody honorable, like Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody who is a tzaddik. It's better to be done the mitzvah by him than to be done by other people, because it's more honor for Yosef to have his bones taken by Moshe Rabbeinu himself than taken by others. So we see from here clearly that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones wasn't really a slight on the Jewish people. So then we have a question. It seems to have a contradiction with what the Gemara said before. The Gemara said before that the Jewish people are considered fools for taking care of the biza, taking care of the wealth, and not taking care of the bones of Yosef. And here the Gemara says that the Jewish people specifically wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to the mitzvah because it's more honorable to be done the mitzvah of Moshe Rabbeinu than done by others, like the Sephardim explains here. So what is it? The Divrei Yoel asks this question, and he asks another question. He asks, it seems to be that the Medrash is complaining that it is a slight of the Jewish people that they did not do the mitzvah of burying Yosef, that they were busy taking the wealth. But he asks, we know that taking the wealth itself was also a mitzvah. How do we know? Because last week's Parsha, on Parsha's Boy, chapter 11, Pasuk number 2, says, Daber no be'ozneom, that please speak to the Jewish people, and ve'ishalu ish me'isreyu, and a person should borrow from his fellow, ve'isha me'isreusa, and a woman from her fellow, kli kesev u'klizav, vessels of gold and vessels of silver. And Rashi says, why is it written no? Please, ein no eloloshen bakosho, that Hashem is asking the Jewish people, please go borrow vessels. So Avraham Avinu should not say, Vaudum Vinu Oisom, that you enslaved them and you afflicted them Kiyam Bohem, that you did that in the Jewish people, that the promise that Hashem made to Avraham Avinu in Bereishis chapter 15, Pasuk 13, that will be enslaved and afflicted, that Hashem fulfilled. But Va'achre Ken Yetzu B'chush Gadol, that was written there in Pasuk number 14, that afterwards when the Jewish people come out of Egypt, they'll come out with a huge wealth, Loi Kiyam Bohem, he did not fulfill of them. So comes out, according to this, that the Jewish people, when they took wealth, when they asked for the Egyptians to borrow gold and silver, it was also a mitzvah. Hashem has also told them to do that. Then how are we blaming now the Jewish people for taking the wealth, which is a mitzvah, instead of taking the bones of Yosef, which is also a mitzvah? How can the Gemara even go so far to say that they are fools, that they did not do the mitzvah of taking the bones of Yosef, if they were busy making the mitzvah of taking the gold and silver? If you have two mitzvahs in front of you, you have to choose one. So why is it considered a foolishness for them to choose the wealth instead of choosing the mitzvah of taking the bones of Yosef? The Eitz Yosef also asks this question on the Gemara, the last part of the Gemara, and he says that the problem was that the Jewish people went above and beyond the call of duty. Hashem said they should borrow, v'yishalu ish mesreyu, they should borrow from his fellow man, and they did much more above what was asked. That's why the Gemara calls it oskim babiza, that they were involved in the booty and not oskim b'shala, involved in the borrowing. So according to him, had they done as much as was asked, then they would have fulfilled the mitzvah of Hashem, that they borrowed vessels of gold and silver, then they will be able to fulfill the mitzvah that Hashem asked, and they will still have time to go get the bones of Yosef. But since the Jewish people coerced and got them to get them more than they asked, or forced them to give more than they asked, so then they were involved in biza, they were involved in booty, they got more than they asked, so therefore they are considered a fools, because they could have done both mitzvahs technically. They could have just fulfilled the mitzvah of taking a little bit of the gold and then do the mitzvah of taking Yosef. That's what the Eitz Yosef on the Gemara answers. And according to this Eitz Yosef, is also good another question, because the Gemara brings the pasuk Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvois, that a wise at heart will take mitzvois, which is a plural, not Kikach Mitzvah, takes a mitzvah. And the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with the bones of Yosef. So technically, why is it called mitzvot? Why isn't it called mitzvah? But according to what the Eitz Yosef says, that Moshe Rabbeinu probably had time to borrow certain vessels, and he still could make the mitzvah of taking the bones of Yosef. So that's what it means, that a smart person, a chacham lev, a person with a wise at heart, would take two mitzvot. He could make both mitzvot together, that he could actually take certain parts of the borrowing and also carry the bones of Yosef. So a wise person would do that. But the fool will only take one mitzvah, which is only taking away the wealth of Egypt. And that is an important message, that even though you are technically performing a mitzvah, but since you could have done two mitzvahs, you are considered a fool. And that is very important for us to know, that even though we sometimes making one mitzvah, and we have to think, what other mitzvah can we do, that we should be able to get the reward of two mitzvahs and be chacham lev, be wise at heart. The Divrei Yoel, though, uses a medrash, which is Yalkut Shimoni, the end of the Zoyis HaBracha, which is almost identical to the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel, right after the Pasuk Chacham Lev, where the Gemara describes this encounter with Serach and Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Medrash adds a couple details that is not in the Gemara. On the Pasuk, Devarim chapter 34, Pasuk number 6 says, Vayikbar Oiso Bagai, that Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu in the guy. So the Medrash asks a question, B'meh zocha Moshe shakosh bochun esasek boy, how did Moshe Rabbeinu merit that Hashem by himself decided to bury him. The whole premise of the question is even unbelievable. You mean to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have any merit that Hashem should bury him? That you are questioning why Hashem buried him? So obviously the Medrash means to say that if Hashem himself buried Moshe Rabbeinu, it must be midah keneged midah, that Hashem's actions always are measure for measure. So Moshe Rabbeinu must have done a certain action that specifically the reward was that Hashem should bury him. And that's the question of the Medrash: what kind of merit did Moshe Rabbeinu specifically had in regard to burying that caused Hashem to bury him? So the Medrash says that in the time that the Jewish people were busy taking the gold and silver, Moshe Rabbeinu was going around town, 3 days and three nights, Linzoy Aroinu Shal Yosef Oloi Matzu, to find the coffin of Yosef, and he did not find it. After he went through a lot of work, he found Serach Bas Osher, and Serach Bas Osher asked him, Rabbeinu Moshe, what are you working so hard? What are you looking for? Moshe Rabbeinu says that I'm looking for the coffin of Yosef already 3 days, and I'm not finding it. So Serach tells Moshe Rabbeinu, come with me, and she takes him to the river Nile, and she said, in this place I remember they made a lead coffin weigh 500 kikorim, which is a huge weight, and they put Yosef inside the coffin, they sealed the coffin, and they threw it in the river. And she tells them the reason they did it is because the stargazers of Pharaoh knew that the Jewish people swore that they won't leave unless they take the bones of Yosef. So if you hide Yosef in the Nile and make it in a lead coffin, then they will never be able to leave. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes and talks to Yosef and says, it came the time that Hashem promised that he'll redeem the Jewish people, and we swore that we're going to take you with us. Pray to Hashem that they should lift you up from the bottom of the Nile. Right away, Yosef's coffin started floating from the Tahom, from the bottom of the Nile. Moshe Rabbeinu took it and put it on his shoulders. So Hashem promised him, it's so great to me that you did not go for gold and silver. Instead, you decided to take the bones of Yosef, that when you die, I will take care of you personally, that I will bury you myself. The Divrei Yoel now explains that according to this Medrash that we just mentioned, comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for the coffin of Yosef 3 days and three nights before the Jewish people left Egypt. And according to the Ramban, that says that right preceding the Makas Bechoires was immediately the Makas Choshech, that right before the death of the firstborn, immediately before, was the 6 days of darkness. Comes out that the 3 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for the coffin of Yosef was during the day of darkness, during the plague of darkness, where it was darkness for Egyptians and light for the Jews. And at that point, the Jewish people didn't have to get the gold and silver. They were just busy looking where people have the gold and silver, where the Egyptians have the gold and silver. And they didn't have to waste time looking where the Egyptians have the gold and silver, because Hashem said that he will give the chain, the grace of the people, that the Egyptians will give the gold and silver as soon as the Jewish people ask. So you don't have to go looking to see in the house of the Egyptian what he has in his cabinets, where his gold and silver is hidden. So the Jewish people at that point should have helped Moshe Rabbeinu, because at that point there was no chiyuv, no mitzvah yet to ask for the gold and silver of the Egyptians until you leave. And yet the Jewish people did not do it, did not help Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why they were considered fools. Had it happened after, when the Jewish people became obligated to go looking for gold and silver, and they didn't go looking for Yosef, then they wouldn't be considered fools, because they're still doing one mitzvah. Because they're still doing the mitzvah of Hashem that they have to go look for gold and silver. But since this happened 3 days before, when Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for the burial ground of Yosef, And yet the Jewish people did not help him, and they wasted their time looking for gold and silver. So that's why they're considered fools, because they could have been helping Moshe Rabbeinu at that point and not go looking to see the covers of the Egyptians to see what they have in their cabinets. The question the Mefarshim ask, it was his Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos, why is it called the wise at heart will take mitzvahs? What kind of wisdom is it to take the mitzvah of bearing Yosef? Why was it considered so wise? So the Tosfos Brachah brings an answer that since it's written Moshe v'Aharon b'Chayanov u'Shmuel b'Koyre Shmoy in Tehillim that we say every Friday night, Psalm 99, there we say Moshe v'Aharon b'Chayanov, Moshe and Aharon are amongst his Kohanim, u'Shmuel b'Koyre Shmoy, and Shmuel is among those who invoke the name of Hashem, which means that Moshe and Aharon were Kohanim, as it's brought down in the Gemara in Zvachim 102, Amad Aleph, at least until the time of the Chanukah Samizbeach, until the time of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, during the 7 days that Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Karbonos before Aharon was inaugurated, Moshe was considered a Kohen. According to this, Moshe was a Kohen, and the Allah is, a Kohen is not allowed to contaminate himself to a dead body, only to a mass mitzvah, a body that doesn't have anybody to take care of it. That's the only time you're allowed to contaminate yourself to that body. So Moshe, realizing that all the Jewish people who are involved with the Bizah, that everybody is taking money, there is nobody to take care of Yosef, then Yosef becomes in the category of mass mitzvah, that it becomes a category of a dead person that doesn't have anybody to bury them. So Chacham Leif, at that time, he realized for his Chachma that this is the only time that he'll be able to contaminate himself to that body. So therefore, Yikach Mitzvah decides to take the mitzvah of taking Yosef. Because if there would be somebody else available to take Yosef, Moshe was not allowed to contaminate himself since he has the category of a Kohen. Since up to this point he had the category of a Kohen, he's not allowed to contaminate himself. But now, since everybody else is busy collecting money and there is nobody to bury Yosef, so now he could contaminate himself. So that's what's called Chacham Leif. A wise at heart, Yikach Mitzvos, will take the mitzvahs. Pa-pa-ra-pa-pa. The other interpretation could be that since the only reason that we are allowed to ask for the wealth of Egypt is because Hashem had promised Avraham Avinu that 400 years the Jewish people be enslaved and be afflicted, and after that they will come out with a huge wealth, which technically is a repayment of the enslavement. So comes out only those people who are enslaved, they are the ones that deserve to get the loot or the gold and silver of Egypt. But somebody who was not enslaved does not deserve to get the gold and silver of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu, which wasn't enslaved, he wasn't even in Egypt the whole time. So therefore, he for sure does not deserve to get the wealth of Egypt. So therefore, a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, where he sees that he can get the wealth, he still goes looking for mitzvahs. So Chacham Leif, a person who is wise at heart and realizes that this mitzvah doesn't apply to him, still Yikach Mitzvahs and goes get the mitzvahs. That the Jewish people, since they have the mitzvah to go get the gold and silver, and they were afflicted, even though maybe even the Levim that were not enslaved, but still they were afflicted because they were in Egypt, they deserve to get the reward, they deserve to get gold and silver. But Moshe Rabbeinu, which wasn't even in Egypt, the time that he was in Egypt, he was actually in the house of Pharaoh, and now he comes back, so he knows that he was not enslaved and afflicted, so he doesn't deserve to get the gold and silver of Egypt, so he goes ahead and goes look for mitzvahs, he goes to get the bones of Yosef. The other interpretation is based on the Medrash on Tehillim, Kof Yud Dalet, which we say in Halal. There it says, Hayom ra vayanois, hayarden yisov le'ochor. The sea saw and ran away, and the Jordan went backwards. So the Medrash says, what did the sea see? In other words, what did the sea see that it caused it to run away, that it caused it to split? So the Midrash says, Aroino shel Yosef ra, that he saw the coffin of Yosef. Because by Yosef it says, Vayonos vayetze achutza, after the wife of Potiphar tried to seduce him, Yosef left his shirt and says, Vayonos, he ran away, vayetze achutza, and he went outside. That's on Bereshis 39, Pasuk number 12. So the sea saw Yosef, saw the coffin of Yosef, therefore the sea decided to split. So the Medrash means to say that here by Yosef is written Vayonos Vayetze Achutza, so he ran away outside, and there it's written Hayom Ra Vayonos, the sea saw and ran away. So we say, what did the sea see? The sea saw the coffin of Yosef. So the sea saw that Yosef did Vayonos, therefore the sea split. That's how we translate the Pasuk. So it comes out that in order for the sea to split, which we're going to explain soon, why was it necessary to see the coffin of Yosef for it to split? Why didn't it split just when he saw the Jews? But nonetheless, as soon as he saw the coffin of Yosef, it split. So it comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu needed the coffin of Yosef in order for the future the sea to split. So that's pshat, chacham leif. Why is it hard? Yikach mitzvah. It will take a mitzvah that will cause the sea to split. Because the Gemara in Tomit, Daf Lamed Beis, brings down, Eizehu chacham, who is considered a wise person, haroye es hanolad, somebody who sees what is going to come out of his action. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that in the future he is going to need the coffin of Yosef, because the only reason the sea split was because of the coffin of Yosef. So once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that he is going to need the coffin of Yosef in order for the sea to split, he decided to get busy taking out Yosef. So that's Chacham Leif, because Eizehu Chacham, who is a Chacham, Haroye Sanoilet, who is wise, a person who sees the future and sees what is going to come out of his action. So therefore, he decided, instead of taking the wealth, I'm going to take the bones of Yosef. And that's why he's categorized as Chacham, as a wise person, because he was able to foresee the future need of Yosef's coffin. And according to this, we could also answer Rashi's question. Rashi on the Pasuk Hashbeya Ishbiya, that he surely made you swear, Rashi asks a question, how come Yosef did not ask his children to take him right away after his death to Eretz Yisrael? So the answer could be that Yosef also knew that the sea will not split unless his coffin is there. So therefore Yosef was willing to forgo his immediate burial in Eretz Yisrael in order for the Jewish people to have a Yeshua, salvation by the sea. And that could be also the reason that Yosef demanded that the Jewish people should take his coffin with him, because Yosef foresaw that the only reason that the sea split, that the sea opened up, is because he saw the coffin of Yosef. The idea that the sea, in order to split, had to see the coffin of Yosef, it's actually brought down in the Klei Yochor and Parshas Vayeshev. Klei Yochor and Parshas Vayeshev has a theory that everybody who commits immorality is usually killed by water. In the Torah, the prescribed punishment for immorality is choking, death by choking, which is chenek. So he says that somebody who dies by water is also considered like he's dying by choking, because drowning is the same thing that you choking, where you cannot breathe. The same way you're choking, you cannot breathe. So too, when you drown, you cannot breathe. And he brings that theory also in Parshas Noach, that the people during the generation of the Mabul died because they committed immorality. And when you commit immorality, you die, especially by water. That's why there was the floods that caused their death. And he also brings the Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Lamed Omed Beis, that the Gemara says that even though Sanhedrin is bottle, still Arba Miso is loy bottle, that the fourth death is not bottle, even though we don't have a Sanhedrin to apply the capital punishments, but from heaven they give you the four deaths. The Gemara explains that Mishen is chayv skila, somebody who is guilty of a crime that you're supposed to be stoned. Hashem makes it that either he falls from a roof or animal hits him or animal bites him and tears him apart. Nowadays we could say that if he has a car accident and is thrown off the car, that would be equivalent to Hashem's punishment of stoning. A person who sinned and is required to have the penalty of burning, Hashem makes it that either he falls on a fire or a snake bites him and the poison is considered like burning because it burns in your vein. A person that sinned and is required to have the punishment of herek, of killed by a sword, Hashem makes it either he is killed by the king or he is killed by a robber. And a person who sinned and is required to have the penalty of choking, Hashem makes it that either he drowns in a river or he gets a disease that causes him a choking sensation. We see from this Gemara that Hashem really gives you the punishment that it is prescribed through the decrees of the Torah, even though the rabbis and us, we are not allowed to give since we don't have Sanhedrin. But yet Hashem finds a way to give the prescribed punishment to you in order for you to get an atonement for your crime. And the prescribed death for somebody who commits adultery is chenek, to be choked. And according to the Gemara, somebody who has chenek nowadays, or in the days that you didn't have witnesses and Hashem punished directly, then the punishment for somebody who committed adultery was going to be drowned in a river or in a sea. So the Klei Yoker says that since Yosef was able to withstand the tremendous temptation of the wife of Potiphar, that the wife of Potiphar wanted him to commit adultery, and he was able to withstand that temptation and he ran outside because of that, therefore it's only fitting that he should not die, or his children should not die through water. Since the Medrash writes that Yosef came down to Egypt and curbed himself to immorality, therefore his children were able to curb themselves from immorality. That the Jewish people did not commit adultery, they were not immoral. If they are not immoral, they do not deserve to die by choking. And the proof is Taroino Shel Yosef, that Yosef HaTzadik's Oren, which Yosef HaTzadik did not commit immorality, and he was able to control himself, so too we are able to control ourselves. Even though the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, the guardian angel of Egypt, had the argument for Hashem that both of us committed avodah zarah, that the Jewish people and the Egyptians committed both avodah zarah, idolatry, and the sea complained, how come the Egyptians are drowning and the Jews are not? The answer is that we did commit idolatry, but yet we did not commit immorality. So since we did not commit immorality, we do not deserve to die by choking. So if we do not deserve to die by choking, the sea had no choice but had to split. I wanted to answer this question, how come it was required to have the Aroine Shel Yosef, the coffin of Yosef, in order for the sea to split, with what Or HaChaim brings down on chapter 14, Pasuk 27, later on in this week's Parsha, that there it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu put his hand, Vayoshev Ayom Lifnois Boiker Lei Sonoi, that the sea went back in the morning, Lei Sonoi, to its original strength, to its power. So the Gemara darshans there, Leisanoi Litnoyoi Horishoin, that it went back to its original condition, to the original stipulation that Hashem made of the sea, that the sea will split when the Jewish people cross the desert. That's what the sea did now. The Or HaChaim asks a question that the Gemara in Chulin, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, brings down the story of Pinchas ben Yair. The sage Pinchas ben Yair was going to do Pidyon Shvuim. He was going to save people from jail or from kidnappers, and he had to cross a river, and the river split for him. So we see that the river splits even for a single person, not only for the whole Jewish people, So what does it mean that Hashem made a condition that the river was split for the Jewish people? So the Rachaim says that since Pinchas Bayair had the power of Torah, therefore he was able to do it, he was able to split the sea. I want to say, according to this, there is a Gemara in Sotah Daf Yud Gimel, that the Gemara there says that when the Jewish people were walking the desert, there were two Aroines traveling, the Aron Shel Yosef, the coffin of Yosef, and the Aron Shel Shechina. And the Aron of Hashem, where the Ten Commandments were there. And when people saw them together, they asked, why you have two Aroines? So the Jewish people answered them that one is from that person, Yosef, and the other one is from the Shechina, which means from Hashem, that the Ten Commandments are there. That's the Aron Abrit, the Aron that was the Ten Commandments there, that's what the second Aron was. So they asked, is it proper to have the Aron of that person next to the Aron of Shechina? So they answered, the Jewish people answered, that Kiyem Zeh Kol Masha Kosov Bazeh, that Yosef HaTzadik did or fulfilled everything that's written in the other box, in the box of Shechina, which is the Ten Commandments. And Rashi brings the Mechilta, which the Mechilta goes through the old Ten Commandments, and I give an example of the Ten Commandments. It says, it's written, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and Yosef says, am I instead of God? Hashem is the one. It's written, do not bear false witness, and I didn't bear false witness. I said, Chai Paroi, I swore in the name of Paroi. It's written to keep Shabbos, and I kept Shabbos because it's written, Utvoach Tevach V'Ochin, you should slaughter an animal and prepare it. And Ein Ve'Ochin, preparing is considered from one day to the other, like it's written in Parshas Amon, this week's Parsha, it'll be in the sixth day, they will prepare, Ve'Chinu, they'll prepare. So why didn't I prepare fresh food? It is because it was Shabbos, so therefore I didn't want to transgress Shabbos. It's written, honor your father and mother, and I honored my father and mother, that I even, at the risk of my life, went to look for you. Is it written, do not commit adultery, and I did not commit adultery with the wife of Potiphar. And so further on. And not only that, the Mechilta later on says that not only did Yosef keep his Ten Commandments, he actually kept other mitzvahs also. And it gives example. It's written, the Pasuk, Lo yisisna es achicha bilvavecha, do not hate your brother in your heart. So Yosef did not hate his brothers in the heart. It's written, the Pasuk says, that do not bear a grudge, and Yosef did not bear a grudge. Then it's written that v'chai ochicha imach, that your brother should live with you, and Yosef made sure to support this big nation. So you see from the Mechilta, which is brought down by Rashi, that Yosef kept the whole Torah before it was given, and that is what is meant that kiyem zeh kol masha kosov bazeh. That this person, Yosef HaTzadik, that coffin, kept everything that's written in the other box. Like the Mefarshim explained, that within the Ten Commandments is included all 630 mitzvahs. Also, if you take a look, the Pasuk that says that Vayikach Moshe es atzmois Yosef, that is translated that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef, the word atzmois, I want to say, is numerical value 606. Ayin is 70. Tzadik is 90. That's 160. Mem is 40. That's 200. Vav is 6. That's 206. And Tav is 400. That's 606. We know that the total mitzvahs that we have in the Torah are 613. 248 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments. We know that Noachite has seven mitzvahs. So it comes out that a Jewish person, a person who keeps Torah, has 606 mitzvahs more than a Noahide. So I want to say, this is Pshat. Vayikach Moshe took as atzmois Yosef. He took the 606 mitzvahs of Yosef, that he wanted to take the Aroine Shel Yosef, because Yosef kept the extra 606 mitzvahs. So therefore, he knew that the sea is only going to split by somebody who kept all 630 mitzvahs, which is the 606 plus the 7, which every person had to keep. So therefore, when the sea sees the Aroine Shel Yosef, when the sea sees the coffin of Yosef, then the sea decides it's going to split. Like Dor HaChaim explains that the sea only splits for somebody who has Torah. The condition that Hashem made with the sea or with the bodies of water is that anybody who has Torah, the sea will split for it. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yosef HaTzadik kept Torah because says the Atzmo is Yosef, the bones of Yosef, which is the extra 606, which means that Yosef HaTzadik kept all 613 mitzvahs. Like the Gemara says that Yosef kept everything that's written in the other coffin, which was the Aron Brit Hashem. So everybody knew that Yosef kept Torah. So once the sea saw Yosef HaTzadik that kept the 613 mitzvahs, it split for him. The same idea that Pinchas ben Yair, even though the sea split for him, it remained open for everybody else, for the person that was walking with him, even for the non-Jewish person that was walking behind him. So too here, the sea split for the Aroine Shel Yosef, because the Yosef kept the 613 mitzvahs, the Yosef kept the Torah. So once it was open for the Aroine Shel Yosef, once it was open for Yosef, then it remained open for everybody else. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should control our urges, and through controlling our urges, Hashem will be able to make miracles, shaloi kederech hateva, not in natural ways. We'll be able to see miracles in supernatural ways, and we should learn to give value to our mitzvahs and try to maximize the amount of mitzvahs that we do. And since it's written that the next geula is going to be like the first geula, so Hashem should help that we should see the miracles occurring in front of us, and Mashiach should come b'mheira b'yameinu. He'll build Rabbi Samikdash, and we'll all go to Eretz Yisrael b'mheira b'yameinu. Amen.